You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. This morning I preached about the smoke in the house, but everybody knows that you cannot have smoke unless you have a fire. Amen. I want to see the smoke in the house, but we got to get a fire going before we get the smoke. Amen. And I believe that's what we're looking for. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. For I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us with your grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible, said, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Amen. For us to be able to see the smoke in the building, we got to get a fire going. Religion is a hot dish. It's not palatable if it's served cold. Amen. Y'all ever been somewhere and somebody give you something that you know is good, hot, and it be cold? Ain't nothing worse than cold pizza unless it's cold, cold. Hello? I don't like it lukewarm. I want my pizza steaming hot or in the icebox overnight, and I'm eating it for breakfast. Glory. Hello? Some of y'all ain't never been hungry. I used to leave it in the refrigerator so long you have knock stuff off the top of it to eat it. But if you're hungry, you need it. Glory. At least didn't have to worry about getting a cold during those days. I had plenty of penicillin in my body. Glory. Cold and formal ritualistic religion is repulsive. It has no attractive value to any individual. Amen. You go to a church that's dead at midnight, you probably aren't going back to that church. I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't. Amen. Glory. I like one guy said he was at a church and said he kept saying, amen, praise the Lord. Said finally one of the deacons or ushers walked by, tapped on the shoulder, said, sir, we don't do that around here. He said, what are you talking about? He said, we don't shout. He said, really? After church, pastor come to him. He said, sir, I apologize, but said, we just don't do that around here. He said, I know. But he said, I come from a church where they throw you out if you don't shout. Oh, hello? You know, the reality is, though, we live in a world where we have that problem. We're trying to figure out how to build churches. And, you know, I've been to the seminars, and I've saw all those guys. Matter of fact, last year, the Church of God did a tour with three of our leading pastors telling people how to grow the church. We got people taking 24 to double. And they actually told them, if you don't double, after you go to this, we'll give you money back. I know one guy's been three times and ain't even grown. I told him, I said, I'll be getting my money back. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. You say, what are you getting at? We're trying to learn ways to program people into the church. And the truth of the matter is, we need to understand there's not but one way to get people to church, and that's get something they want, and they'll come find it. Could you say amen? Praise God. I have a friend that pastors Nauvoo Church of God. Those of you where Nauvoo Church of God is, it's not even Nauvoo. Glory. Nauvoo is in the middle of nowhere, plumb over yonder past that place. You got to know where Nauvoo is to find it. To find the Nauvoo Church of God, you ain't even going to go to Nauvoo. You're going to go to Dogtown, which is a little community outside of Nauvoo. Both of these are outside of Carbon Hill. But do you know they run 200 people on Sunday morning? Because they got folks that'll drive from all over the place to get there because God blesses and God moves in that place. And it's been known as a place for revival for a long time. And because of that, people will show up. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You can try everything you want to. But John Wesley has the formula for a move of God and for growth in the church. He said, get on fire. People will come to watch you burn. Glory. Amen. Fire is a crowd gatherer. I mean, let's face it, church. You know, you see somebody go down the road with a donut truck, some folks will follow them. I actually heard the other day, I was reading something, and the guy said that there was somebody stole the Krispy Kreme donut truck in Atlanta, and the cops chased him for 8 blocks. I would have loved to have seen that chase. I just wish they had that on film. Lord, can you imagine a cop car, two or three cop cars with the sirens on chasing a donut truck? That almost looks natural. Glory. Amen. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we like to see some things, but do you ever notice if a fire truck goes by, some of y'all run out that door to go see where it's going? If you got anything going on, you're liable to follow it to see if you can see the fire. I remember one night I was headed home from revival. I was coming down Highway 59, and I saw a pile of cars on the side of the road, and all I could think about was, oh, man, it's a wreck. And I saw glowing, so I thought it was red lights. So I got there, and then I realized it was a house burning. So I pulled off the road and watched it burn like the rest of them. I sat down on the side of the hill and watched that house burn, and I saw the firemen down there spraying, but they're out to the place now. They just start spraying the houses next door to keep them from catching up. And we were sitting there watching it. There was 40 or 50 people stopped what they were doing just to watch that house burn. He said, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that if we get enough fire in this building, there will be people that will come by wanting to see what's going on and getting into it. Could you say amen? Jesus' description of John the Baptist in John chapter 5, verse 35, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Glory. John the Baptist didn't draw crowds because he was eloquent. He didn't draw crowds because he had a great organization. He drew crowds because he preached with a fire and an anointing of God that got on him while he was still in his mother's womb. Glory. And when he preached, people went to hear him because he was, as Jesus said, a burning and shining light. He attracted those crowds because he was a flame of fire with the glory of God. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, notice what the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 2. Now when the noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? The key word is they came together. People didn't run when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room. They came together wanting to know what's going on. Someone was asking, what meaneth this? These men can't really be drunk, can they? Amen. And the truth of the matter is they opened the door for Peter to stand up and say, ye men of Galilee, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And by the time he got through talking about the fire of God and the move of God, 3,000 souls had given their heart to the Lord and joined the church. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? The message to the Laodicean church was that they were neither cold nor hot. They were evidently doctrinal sound. He didn't say anything about what they were preaching. There's no argument against the church itself. It's simply become mechanical and lukewarm. And in Revelation chapter 3 said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. For I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and then anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He said, listen, you've lost it. You've gotten blinded by the things of the world, and you're missing the fact that you really ain't got it made. You're just taking it easy and gotten comfortable. What you need is to get a move of God and the fire of God to come down and to stir you up and to set you back on fire, that you'd be ablaze for God. Could you say amen? The early church was looked on as the beginning with amazement and the key of the confounded and the supernatural manifestations that took place. That's what drew the crowds. Number one, the church needs to be stirred. The church, I'm not talking about just an emotional stir. I mean, we can have that and go right back like we was the week before. Come on, church. We can get to playing Granny's favorite song. You can get excited about it and do the huckabuck down the middle aisle, but that ain't going to change the way you live unless you get in the altar and pray through. And I've been in churches where I knew folks wasn't living right, and they was out there dancing with everybody else. And I've seen preachers stand in a pulpit, shout, run the aisle, and have people shout and running with them, and 2 weeks later lose their papers because they had committed adultery and was in sin. Come on, church. Well, preacher, why are you preaching like this? Because I want you to understand, I don't need emotions. I don't want emotions. I don't want somebody getting excited because Granny's favorite song got sung. I want somebody to get a hold to God. And when you hit the aisle, you do it because the anointing hit you, and you're not there because somebody else is doing it or it feels good. You're there because you can't hold it back anymore. Come on, church. Amen. Real praise is excessive adoration. It is the thankfulness of God that can't be held back, that bubbles out of you to the point you don't care who hears it or sees it. You just want to worship God. Could you say amen? Woo. We need that kind of a stir, not just an emotional move, but a sin-killing, devil-chasing revival that'll set us on fire from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet with the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Amen. Dead things have no resistance. You ever notice that? You throw something dead in the water, it just flows wherever the water goes. Glory. Hello? I've had people say, how you doing? I'm just going with the flow. That lets me know they're dead at midnight. Because if the flow ain't going where I'm going, I'm swimming to get away from it. Come on, church. Amen. But now notice this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, the B part. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He's talking to the church at Sardis. When I worked in retail, I used to put things in the door just to get people in. We put shoes on sale. We knew we weren't going to sell them shoes. Somebody come in and look at them and say, hey, let me show you these. And I'd show them a pair that looked just like them. That was better shoes. They also were higher priced. And y'all may not believe this, but I actually had people come in the store and tell me, I don't want the store brand, I want that brand. You know what the difference was? The label. I sold children's shoes at Gafers, and they'd argue me down. They wanted jumping jacks. And I said, not a problem. And they'd buy them jumping jacks, and I'd have some of them Royal Debs there at Gafers right beside them. And what do you know what the difference was? Hey, man, at the store, we would change the inner lining out so that Royal Debs was in them jumping jack shoes that we bought. And we would sell them at a lower price because they were the same shoe, just our label in them. Amen. I've had people tell me, said, I ain't buying no generic food at the store. You know who makes that generic food? The same people that you're paying the high price for. It's just got a different label on it. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you see, you got some people that'll put something on the wall, act like they got something to try to get you there. Then when you show up, you find out there's nothing actually there. They want to sell you something else. And we got a lot of people that's got a sign out front that says, hey, we're a church. We believe in the power of the move of God. But yet when you get there, there ain't nothing happening. I got news for you, church. If I go to the Catholic church, I go because I'm going to look for Catholics to act like Catholics. If I go to the Baptist church, I'm not knocking them. I go to a Baptist church, I expect them to act like Baptists. When I go to Methodist church, I believe they're going to have congregational reading. I believe they're going to sing the doxology when they get through because that's the way Methodists do. I want to see them carry the fire in on that stick and light the candles and then light them back up and walk back out carrying it to the world because that's what Methodists do. But if I go to a church and said, hey, we're Pentecostal. We believe in the move and the operation of the Spirit. We believe in the fire of God. Then I want to feel the fire while I'm in that building. I want to see people moving under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I want that fire to be a flame. Could you say amen? Glory. Acts 19. The same time there were those. No small stir about the way. At Thessalonica, Acts 17. These have turned the world upside down. Have now come hither to us. Hello. There are many that used to be on fire. That are now dying embers. And cold ashes. Hello? When I was a kid, you used to have to bank the fire. You older folks, as country folks, you'll understand that. You get the fire and you get you some fire burning back there, and then you take ashes and lay it over the top of it so it'll smolder during the night. Next morning, whoever's job it was to get the fire going, have to go in there and poke around, get them hot embers. and put some fat lighter on it. City folk call that kindling. What it was just some old dry wood that we found out there we knew would light quick. You get it in there and get your little fire going. Then you put you some more, a little smaller piece of wood on there and get that going. Then you put a log or two on. Then you wake everybody else up and tell them the fire's going. You come in here and get hot. What's bad is when you got a smart aleck brother who won't bank the fire right on purpose. And you get up and dig all you want to, can't find nothing in there hot. I mean, you done got that blower over, and all you getting is ashes in the face. Then you got to get that thing some of y'all think is a popcorn popper. Don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me. Y'all think that thing with a handle on it, it's got the little lid, this metal that sits up right by the fireplace, is a popcorn popper. That is something you don't even want to have to look at, because that means I got to walk ever how far it is to the neighbor's house and get some hot ashes and come back, get that fire started. Somebody said, if I didn't just get a match, if we'd had matches, you wouldn't have been banking the fire to start with. Glory. Get back over there and get them hot ashes and get it going again. Come on, church. You say, what are you talking about? We need in the church to start pushing around in some of the ashes and see if we can find some embers. And I can tell you, if we can find one ember, we can see God begin to move. Amen. If you've not gone all the way out, God can get you going. If you're going all the way out, then you got to get back in the fire and get relit. Come on, church. Amen. That'd be a good sermon title. Let's get lit. Glory. Oh, for the stirring on Pentecost. Listen, Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I long for the day when everybody in a building gets hit so hard, nobody's looking around to see who's doing what. They're all lost in the anointing of the Spirit and the power of God like they were in that upper room. And my God's no respecter of persons, so it could happen again. Could you say amen? He'll be the one that makes us hot when we pray. Isaiah 54:16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals of the fire and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? God said, if you can just get some embers, I got the smith that's going to blow it and get a fire going. Why? Because he's the one that's going to help make them instruments that might come against you. Hello? Notice the next verse. For no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall not condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. What are you talking about? When you get enough fire going, amen, the enemy may be building things over there, but understand God is the one that's helping them build. They're not coming up with something that he don't already know how it works, and he's going to take care of you, and no matter what they try to use against you, it's not going to work. Long as I'm sold out to God, the arrows can't hit, the spears can't make it, the bullets will not penetrate. Why? Because my God is on my side. Could you say amen? Woo. Number two, fire is a symbol of God's presence. Moses was walking out through the desert and he sees a bush and it's burning, but it's not consumed. Now that would get my attention. Hello? In the third chapter of Exodus, it said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him of the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, which the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Whew. The children of Israel recognized the presence of God. How? In Exodus chapter 13, the Lord went before them by day as a pillar of cloud and led them in the way. And at night, a pillar of fire to give them light to guide them from the day out of the night. When God came down on Mount Sinai, the fact His presence was there. I read it to you this morning. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Hello? So fire is a symbol of the presence of God. Amen. Fire provides protection. You ever heard of anybody backsliding while they're on fire for God? You ever heard of anybody really prayed through, reading the Bible, really doing everything they're supposed to do, and lose it? And all the time I've ever been around somebody that's lost it, it would always have to get back to the fact they had a closed Bible and a broken altar, and they weren't where they need to be with God when it all went wrong. Come on, church. Just as a shepherd builds a fire to protect his sheep. See, we don't have the right idea about how things go on. I mean, I don't want to mess y'all up. But at Christmas time, we got this nice little wooden thing over there that Jesus was born in. He was actually born in the cave. I've actually been there. And when the shepherd took the sheep in and washed them in the shepherd's field in Bethlehem, they took them into a cave. And then they built a fire in the mouth of the cave. The sheep wouldn't go out, but the wolves and predators wouldn't come in so they could lay down and sleep also. Hello? He said, what are you getting at? That fire became the protective balance between the sheep and the enemy that wanted to get them. Can I tell you, God understands that greatly? Amen. Listen, He gives us the fire to make us overcomers. Zechariah 2 and 5. For saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Hello? 2 Kings 6, I read it to you this morning. Elijah prayed, said, Lord, open up the eyes of who? His little fella, his friend. What did it say? He said, and when he opened up his eyes, what did he see? His eyes opened, the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. What are you talking about? It was the fire that was the protection. We need to understand that God has a hedge of His glory around us, and when we get inside that hedge, the devil cannot get to you. So when you run around bragging about the devil being on you, what you're telling me is, I'm not really prayed up, and he's riding me because I won't throw him off. I made some of you mad because you like to talk like that. Amen. Well, need to learn how to talk as a Christian. Get you to have them beat it. Don't listen to some preacher says, oh, the devil been all over me. Then throw him off. The Bible said if I resist him in God, he's got to flee from me. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord camp around about those who love him and keep his commandments. So if I'm in the middle of God's will doing what God wants me to do, the devil may try to get to me, but he ain't going to take me out because God ain't going to let it happen. Well, the devil's on me every day. I actually had a preacher one time tell me that if you live good enough, the devil will get on you because you're living good. You're living good enough, he shows up, you kick him out, and he'll go find somebody else because there's always somebody that plays. Come on, church. The scripture didn't say the devil as a roaring lion goes about the earth eating up everybody. It said he's seeking those whom he may devour. Let's ask you something and see if you've ever done this. You ever grabbed something you thought was going to be real good to eat, throw it in your mouth, and realize suddenly it was hot? And you're like, and it messes up your taste buds. We was down at the lake one time, or down at the river. A friend of ours had invited us down there, and we were frying catfish, but we had a couple pieces of steak we was cooking on a grill. And the guy next door had a biscuit hound. Y'all know what a biscuit hound is? It's one of them you wouldn't waste a biscuit on. I'm serious. I'll be honest with you. I'd have shot the dog, but the bullet was worth more than the dog, so I wouldn't shoot him. And that old dog kept walking around there, and he could see him. He'd done been over by the fish fry and they run him off. And he got over there around that grill and it wasn't long. He got that dude's steak off that grill. Now I know it was his because mine was still on the grill. Glory. I know they were identical, but I claimed the one that was on the grill. His was in the dog's mouth. That dog pulled that thing off and he got to whopping around. Finally, he dropped it, run over and started rubbing his nose on the ground.
hard on himself. I picked the steak up, threw it at him. He was running from a steak like he was going to kill him. I looked over my buddy and I said, you know, we could wash that off. And he put it back on. He said, you crazy. I'll just eat fish. You know, a little while, this little bitty dog came over there. That thing was so small, it grabbed the thing and walked backwards to drag the steak off so he could eat it. But it had cooled off so he could get it. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with your sermon? Let the devil come on. If I'm on fire, he takes a bite. He going to find out real quick I'm not edible. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. If you're on fire enough, he bites. It's going to mess him up. Amen. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all missed that. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, fire generates power. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Isn't it amazing the early engines were run by steam that was made by fire? And the more fire you had, the better off you were. Come on, church. Amen. We need power in the church. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. It's Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses, but I want you to listen to these. I'm not going to be long, much longer. I got 5 minutes according to Mickey's hand. Glory. It's not really Mickey's, but I just got 15 minutes more. Glory. Y'all just got to know this watch. Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, and the heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that is filled all in all. See, in the Greek, if you study Greek, you're going to find out the Greeks have a different way of doing things than we do. In the English language, we'll put a word down, we'll add adjectives and adverbs to it and make it say something different. That just flew over some of his head. Glory. So I told you I went to school, learned me something. See, I could say this. The man in the suit. Y'all can look around, there's a bunch of men in suits. I could say the man in the suit chewing his fingernails. I just zeroed in on somebody. I didn't change the word. I just added a descriptive word and made it say something so you'd know who it was. In the Greek, every time you want to put a little difference in a lot of the words, they simply change the words. Do you know there are 5 Greek words that are listed for the word power? Amen. You know, we like one of them, dunamis. That's the word we get dynamite out of. Nobody talks about dunamis. And we got a lot of Christians with dunamis power. They blow up and ain't nothing left. Glory. Then we got the word energeia. That's the word we get energy from. And, you know, I wonder sometime about folks. I never forget I had a Methodist pastor, a friend of mine, Pentecostal. And he was with me one day. We were talking to a Church of God preacher. And he was sitting there and he said, man, we had church. And you know how we Church of God folks are. We think we the only ones can have church. And he leaned over and he says, boy, if he just knew how to have church. And I think Neil understood what he said because he said, let me tell you something. So we were taking up the offering. And the lady playing the offertory had been seeking the Holy Ghost. And God fell on her right in the middle of that song. Said she left that piano shouting and speaking in tongues and walking the aisle. And said, next thing you know, I had people walking the aisle. I had 4 people saved, 3 of them healed, 4 more filled with the Holy Ghost. That church got preacher looked at me and said, man, they had church. Glory. And then come the question I knew was coming. He said, do you believe that speaking in other tongues is the only evidence of the Holy Ghost? And church, I don't believe it's the only evidence. I believe it's the initial evidence. But we got too many people think because they got the initialization of what was there that that's all there is to it. But I like this guy's theology about how you can tell somebody in his church got the Holy Ghost. He said they go to work. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the Holy Spirit is the unction that makes us function. And if you don't function, you don't have the unction. Come on, church. Ah, preacher, you're crazy. No, in the scripture I read you, I did it on purpose. In the verses I just read you out of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, used all five of the words that represent power. And what he's telling them in verse 15 through the last verse of that chapter is there is power on top of power on top of power on top of power to do that that God has called us to do. Could you say amen? There is no lack of power in God's field if we just sell out to it. Oh, preacher, I don't know, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses of me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. That was the words of Jesus Christ, that we would have power, that we would move in power. Proverbs tells us this in Proverbs 26, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. So where there is no table bearer, the strife cease. Now, I'd be very upset if somebody told me there was something wrong and I need to do something, and they didn't give me a prescription to figure out how to do it. Hello? Phase one, we need fire. Because we need protection. We need power. We need the presence of God. But how are we going to get it? I think we're going to put three pieces of wood on my fire. Now, y'all can build your own fire. Glory. Number one is meditation. Now, one might not consider meditation to be much of a component of fire. But listen to what the Word of God tells me in Psalms 39:4. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Hello? Then I spake with my tongue. What did David say? He said, I was musing. Anybody know what the word muse means? Think. That's why we like amusement, which means to not think. Glory. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like, really? That's why we enjoy it. It makes us not think. But to muse means he's thinking. David said, I'm sitting there meditating on the word, and my heart began to burn in me, because meditation in him through the word of God began to bring a fire about. 2 Samuel chapter 2, or 23 verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Those are some of the last words David said. David said, because of the anointing of God, I was able to speak his word, where I was known as the psalmist of God, because his word burned in me. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to understand, if we're going to get fire, we got to meditate on the word. Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thy way be prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. When you do what? When you meditate in the word of God. Psalms 1, amen. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. What's going to happen? He is going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that will bring forth fruit in its due season. Hallelujah. Log 2, prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Whew. What brought the fire? Prayer. Leviticus chapter 6. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What's that saying? If I need some fire, if I get in an altar, I can find it, because God said, my fire will never be out of the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Amen. I see Elijah being tempted to turn away from God. And listen to what he said. He said, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stone, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And notice what happened. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Come on, church. Somebody said, "What are you talking about?" When he prayed, God answered with fire. Can I tell you, when we pray, God will answer with fire? Come on, church. Hallelujah. If we've ever needed anything, we need to get that piece of wood called prayer and put it on our fire and get it burning. Amen. You say, "Preacher, that's good, but what's the last log?" You ought to know it. The Word of God. Psalms 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 107:20, "He sent the word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. But what does the word of God have to do with fire? Jeremiah 29, "And then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." Could you say amen to that? Church, hallelujah. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer to the breadth of the rock in pieces." Amen. Jeremiah 5:14, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire to this people." Hallelujah. What are you talking about? We need to get the word of God. Let it set us on fire, and that word will move into their lives. Could you say amen? Luke 24, Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus with the guys that are upset because Jesus has been crucified, and he begins to open to them the scriptures, and notice how they described it, how our heart began to burn within us when he opened up the word. Hallelujah. Stand with me. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fire of God in the house of the Lord. If we've ever needed anything, we need God to move in us with some fresh anointing. And to get it happen, we need to start spending some time thinking about God. We need to get our mind on God and keep it. I said, "Now, preacher, I got to work a job." Well, who says what you got to think about while you're working? You might find you're a better typist, typer, if you'd learn how to meditate on God's word while you're typing. Well, we need a move of God. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear in heaven. Then, and only then, am I going to heal their land. Before we see anybody outside this building right, we got to get rid of some stuff ourselves. Well, I ain't done nothing wrong. Well, hallelujah. I didn't know Jesus was a member of my church. Glory. Now, church, I'm not one of them that believes you got to sin every day, because that's not in Scripture. You cannot show me that in Scripture. I can show you replanted Scriptures that says you don't have to sin every day. So don't come up and I got to sin every day, because I can throw it at you. Whosoever is born to God doth not sin. For his seed remain him in him, therefore he cannot sin. Now that's not my interpretation, that's black and white scripture. 1 John 3:8. I will tell you this, if you got sin in your life, God's not going to help you with your finances. God's not going to help you with your health. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's not biblical." It is. David said, "If I regard iniquity, unconfessed sin in my heart, God will not hear my prayer." That is biblical. I don't know why these modern day preachers want to twist the scripture and y'all jumping up, "Oh yeah, I know what they're preaching. That guy's got a doctorate degree. So follow his doctorate degree to hell, or get in the word and read it yourself." He said, "If you sin," do you not understand God knows how to talk? If you had to sin every day, he'd say, "When you sin." He didn't say that. He said, "If you sin," because it's not supposed to be a natural occurrence in a Christian's life. "If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father." Well, Mr. Perfect, I don't care how you look at me. I know what the Scripture says, and I'm doing my best to live by them, and I do mess up. And I will make mistakes. But I ask God to forgive me of those, and I put them under the blood so that I can ask God about things I need and I can touch God's throne. But let me tell you something, the church as a whole has got to repent over some of the things we've done in the past. And until we do, we're not going to see our loved ones saved. We're not going to see God moving in these altars. And I've had people say, well, preacher, I don't need to go down there. You're the ones that need to be here, because he that thinketh he stand is the one that needs to understand I might fall. But if my people, we're talking about Christians, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, then he said, I'll hear in heaven, and then I will heal their land. I told y'all this the other day. I was talking to a guy, and he looked at me and said, well, preacher, you act like ain't nobody going. Is that not what the scripture says? Narrow is the way, and narrow is the gate, which leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find their way in. I believe there's a lot of people going compared to how many people's in the world. But when you look at how many people's been in this world, it's going to be a relatively small number that's going to make it to eternity with God. You think about it today. If everybody who goes to church, which is 21% of the population of America, were a Christian, that'd still be a small number. That would mean that 79% of the American population ain't going. Out of that 21% that goes to church, only half of them will tell you they're dedicated Christian. And only half of them are really dedicated. And yet we're saying God sends you fire. He wants to. God's greatest desire is for his church to fall on an altar and pray until a move of God hits and consumes a community. But it's got to start with you and I. And if we want to see our loved ones, some of y'all done turned me off because you said, now I don't like this kind of preaching. You better vote me out then, because I've had a big change of heart. And it's time we started focusing on some other folks, and that means we need to get rid of our stuff so we can reach to others. I've been a maintenance pastor long enough. I'm fixing to start growing me a field to harvest, and somebody's going to help me plow, or I'll just have to plow you under. Glory. Glory. But we need to repent of some things. We need to let God. And look, it's going to take honesty on our part. It's going to take honesty on God's part. But if we'll be honest with God, he already knows. But if we'll turn from our wicked ways, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, but to them that know to do good and do it not, it's a sin. So if you've not been meditating in that word and reading that word, you're wrong. And you need to get in and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to spend more time in your word. Well, preacher, I just don't have time. Isn't it amazing how we make time for the things we want to do? What is it the guy said? Sometimes your relationship with God has to be like going steady with Eddie. You do it early, you do it diligently, you do it daily, and you do it yieldingly. And when you do, then you got a God's going to touch you. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in Jesus' precious name. Touch us tonight with your glory. Holy Spirit of God, have your way.